This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. Going to be a great show. We have the legendary Jack Jolly on this morning, and we're going to be talking baseball and a lot of other great things and a lot of history of the community. I want to let you know that the first part of this show is brought to you by Sims Auctioneers, David Gilliam and Larry Sims, and they invite you to an absolute auction this Saturday at 10 a.m. on Richland-Richardson Road, and that's just off Old Nashville Highway. Three tracks will be sold. Track one includes a 1,700-square-foot four-bedroom home with garage and shop on 7 acres. Tracks two and three are both 8.5 acres with perk sites on each. Check out LarrySims.com for more information on the absolute auction this Saturday at 10 a.m. on Richland-Richardson Road, and that's just off of Nashville Highway. That's LarrySims.com. You know, Jack, as you know, you're one of my favorite people. I've known you almost all my life. You've been a mentor to me and so many other kids that have been in this community. You've helped keep us all on the right track. But a lot of it is straight through baseball. You know, baseball is one of these things that never gets out of your system. I always love baseball. There's just something about it. I don't know if it brings me back to my youth or whatever. It's just something that we were talking on the way over here. I can smell a glove or put a bat in my hand, and I'm 10 years old again. There's just something special about it.
Absolutely. My grandson, when he's playing Little League, and he has a glove, and I'll pick that glove up, and just the smell of it. Mm-hmm. It's got a beautiful smell, a baseball glove has, and because probably that glove goes back 100 years in history. I don't mean that particular glove, but the smell of that goes back about 100 years till you start reading about people that played actually, they had baseball going on when they had Jesse James and all that bunch, believe it or not.
If he'd have played baseball, he probably wouldn't have been an outlaw, right?
Yeah. They had they played up in Wisconsin and Minnesota, I think. And at that time, Truman, or at least when I was growing up, and to tell you the truth, I've lied so much about my age, so I really do. I can go back in the early 30s, going with my father to see people in this town that I don't guess anyone's ever heard of Cheetah Stockard.
Or Cheetah Stockard.
Yes, sir. Or probably Fount Pitts.
Of course, both of those were elected officials in Rutherford County at one time.
Jimmy Vaughn, Homer Jones, loved Homer Jones. I'm sorry, but Homer Jones was like a second daddy to me. I remember when he died, I was, I'm a baseball scout with the
Chicago White Sox,
who are leading their division right now. I was on the road, I think, the day he died. I was either that or going to officiate a football game, and they called me, and I just felt like running off the road. Because he just looked after me, and all that bunch did back in the early 30s, and where they would play Kerr Field, the Martin Park out by the Stones River, out the Shelbyville Highway, and Reedaville, Kittrell, Las Casas, Walter Hill, I think I said Vanatta, Possum Trot, Smyrna, Tuckertown.
Old Jefferson.
I mean, it just brings back looking at a glove or smelling a glove. You're right. It's a lot of history in that.
You know, over the years, we've all have had our favorite baseball players, and it was, I like to watch, I don't know if you get it on your television or not, but Boys in the Hall, and then they've got another one that goes back to when baseball was really baseball, back
that's
in the
right.
20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. It's something that's really special. I mean, as a kid, I would listen to Mel Allen when he would call the games when the Yankees were playing. And you could actually, when Mantle and Maris were in that run to break Babe Ruth's record, I could literally hear the bat when Mantle would hit the ball. And you could almost tell, something like 90% of the time, where that ball was going to go out of there. I mean, I have never heard such a sound. And now, when I go watch, say, a Little League game or a Babe Ruth game or something like that, and you hear that metal against the ball, it just doesn't seem the same, does it?
No, absolutely. You know, Truman, the first time I ever saw a major league game was 1949.
Wow.
My dad and I went to Chicago, and that was when integration had started in the major leagues.
So you went to see the Cubs.
Jack Robinson, they brought him up. And the Giants were playing the Cubs.
Yeah.
Now, my dad had been a professional scout. And I'm not a scout, umpire. And the union,
I didn't know that.
In the kiddie league. And that was back in 39, 38, 39, 40, 41. And then he went in the Navy. And he was a pretty good umpire. And we traveled to the places like Owensboro, Paducah, Mayfield, Kentucky, Bowling Green, Kentucky, Hopkinsville, Jackson in Tennessee, Union City, places like that. And guys were playing then. The next thing you knew, who is that guy from Union City? His name is Sean Deasty or something. Red Sheendy.
Oh, my. My daddy loved Red Sheendy. Of all the Cardinals, and he was always a Cardinal fan, even when the Braves came here, he was for the Braves some, but he just couldn't get that Cardinal out of his blood.
No, I understand that. You know Jim McGuire, the assistant baseball coach?
One of the best coaches that we've got. You know, Steve Peterson, I always loved Steve Peterson because he was a community man, and he was a baseball man, and he loved, and he was as good a coach as I've ever seen on that level. Jim McGuire is just like him. He is such an asset, not only to MTSU and the baseball team, but also for the community at large.
Absolutely.
He is one of those people who just fits right into that particular
position. Jim,
with Steve gone.
You know, Jim's turned down three good jobs. He turned down Marshall University, and he turned down Tennessee Tech, and he turned down that, can't think of the name of that school in Illinois, and he's run that program when Pete had his severe heart attack.
Right, I still remember
he ran
that.
The program. The boys love him, and he's blue.
Yeah.
You know, he's true blue. He's been here. His children were born here, and surely he's going to get that job. If he doesn't, that's another black mark or red mark against MTSU, who's trying to do something that we true blue people can't buy. They're doing so much out there. But anyway, Jim McGuire is a big Cardinal fan. Oh, he worships the Cardinals. And he's just, in fact, his father used to go over and be an usher. for the Cardinals, and that's all you hear. Now, he's kind of like me.
Was that at Sportsman's Park?
Yeah, at Sportsman's Park. And now, and talking about Sportsman's Park, well, I never did finish out. My dad and I went to Chicago and saw the Cubs play three games against the Giants. And the Giants had Monty Irvin, the black left fielder,
and
Henry Thompson, the black second baseman. And then here came one of my favorite teams in the last game, the Boston Braves, and I loved them. And I got to see the great Warren Spahn pitch that day.
Oh, man.
And, you know, you know, the first, he retired the first nine men, and in the fourth inning, he couldn't get anybody out.
Spahn, he couldn't?
Yeah. Gave up six consecutive hits.
He was a unnaturally fit human being. He pitched forever, and I don't think he ever got hurt the whole time. He was unbelievable.
He got hit that day up there. But you never know it. And such a gentleman. Yeah. And all those guys, Truman, had been in the service during World War II. And that's the thing about it. Everybody from Ted Williams, who was my favorite.
Great, maybe the greatest hitter I ever saw. Just pure hitter. Yeah. Unbelievable. And he had the prettiest swing. It was just like watching a ballet watching him swing.
Well, he had the, I don't know what his eyesight, was the
better than 20/20.
Yeah, better than that.
Yeah.
And that's reason, and he didn't do things like go to the movies, or go swimming and stuff like that. He spent, I forgot when the season before it started, he would take those wooden bats. Oh my gosh, will they ever bring wooden bats back? No. But anyway, he would just twist his hands on a bat until he rubbed blisters on them. Now, he wasn't one of those guys that wore all these gloves they got now and they do this.
Didn't put pine tar on, none of that.
And that's dropped back down into Little League. I jumped all over my grandson. He's so little, I love him, for something like that. He did. Goes up there with sunglasses on, hitting and stuff like that. But he knows how to get up there. And, he bangs that bat on the plate, and he's got a great stance. And then he never does hit the ball on the left side because he's too stubborn, kind of like his granddaddy. And he's too stubborn.
And his great-granddaddy, too.
He's just too stubborn to choke up on the bat and hit the pitch that's inside and stuff like that. But I grew up worshiping baseball.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, you know, there wasn't anything else with those guys. It's the greatest game ever made.
You know,
I'm worn out.
My first professional baseball that I ever saw was, of course, with the Nashville Vols, and over there at Sufferdale. And when I walked in, it was like Bob Costas describes Yankee Stadium. It was that way to me. I think I was 6 years old, and my dad took me, and I think Mike was probably, he was there, so he would have been two, and Mama. But there was something special. It just like it was unreal. You're sitting there watching something that you always dreamed about. And I never noticed that the second baseman was probably playing right field at the time because it's such a short porch. But it's kind of the image comes back almost like Fenway Park in Boston. Because they built baseball stadiums back then kind of be able to fit the area or whatever. But they tried to make it as fair as they could for each team. But just like the Vols would put those left-hand hitters because the porch was so short over in right field, they would line up kind of like, I guess, the Giants used to at the Polygram with their short porch over there. But I love baseball, the stadiums back then, because they were unique in each area.
Right.
And now you're kind of getting them all kind of looking alike. But we were talking about Sportsman's Park. That was a great
ball. Oh, it's one of the greatest. It in Wrigley Field. I got to hand it to. And I went to Crosley Field in Cincinnati. And they called it the Goat Rung. Yeah. And there in right field, just a little hump going up and a little fence right there. And
well, you were talking about the Cubbies early in 49. Ernie Banks had not arrived there yet, had he? In 1949, the shortstop for the Cubs.
No, he wasn't playing then.
He was one of my favorite players also because he was like us. We love baseball. Ernie Banks loved baseball. He said he just wished he could play a doubleheader every
exactly
day.
Right.
It came right out of his mouth. Yeah. And one of the best hitting shortstops I've ever seen.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned your brother a while ago, Mike. And I don't mean this in the family, but your mother, God bless her soul, sat the last time I saw her. I was sitting in their house, and we got to talking. I'd carried her some pictures or something up there about baseball. And got to talking, and I said, you know, Ruby, I said, Mike could have been a real good baseball player. But he was just too stubborn to listen what was correct in doing. And she said, I know it, Jack. And said, the whole family knows it. Said, but he's our child, you know, and we have some. But he's stubborn.
Yeah.
And he could have been a great ball player. But he wasn't nearly as good as you were. I saw you, Truman. Now I saw.
I was all right.
And I sat on the bench over there, and Gilbert Sharon just gave you the ball right out there, and then at the end of seven innings, he'd take the ball away from you after the Yanks had won.
We did have a lot of fun back then, didn't we?
Yeah, and then the thing, you know.
Let's go back to my mama a minute.
Okay.
Because Gilbert Sharon used to, he was like you. He loved my mama. And my mama was one of these mothers that carried their kids to every practice, every game, cheered for the team, but was never rude to the other team. And even though we might get a bad strike called against her, she would never comment. And I never will forget one day that I think I was batting, and maybe they called a high strike or whatever. And Mom, for whatever reason, hollered at the umpire. And I never will forget, Gilbert Sharon got up off of his seat, turned around, and looked at her, and he mentioned a name that we all know. I'm not going to mention it, but says, well, I didn't realize you were here today. And my mama's face just turned pale as a ghost sat down and never did say another word. But Mama respected all of you coaches. She really did. She loved everybody that had anything to do with the game. And until the day she died, she would watch. I know you're not a big Atlanta Braves fan, but she would watch the Atlanta Braves play every time they were on. She would not miss them.
You know, baseball is kind of like the measles or something like that you can catch or something or other. Now, I married a wonderful person.
You sure did.
She was more involved, I think, my coaching football than I was baseball. Now, of course, Susie and John were born, and she watched after them while I was coaching most things. And baseball eventually, Dolly, just like she caught it.
Mm-hmm.
She loves MTSU and loves T. Peason and worships Jim McGuire, and she just follows him all the time and loves to go out there. Now, of course, most everybody knows me, knows that the White Sox our scout director 3 years ago, said, Jack, said, we don't want you on the road anymore. Frankly, he said, it's dangerous for you driving. But I think Dolly told my scout director to do that. And my grandchildren didn't think I should be driving anything else. Anyway.
You never could drive, Jack. Huh? Why would they change? You never could drive.
Well, anyway.
I've heard some stories.
Well, to be honest with you, I had three wrecks. But anyway, they said, he told me, he said, Jack said, want you to scout the Sun Belt Conference. Mm-hmm. See every team, write up a report, send it in on a particular player, and we'll call the scout that has that area, or they'll either call me about certain players. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten calls on my phone in office and to see certain players. Mm-hmm. And
do you get calls from parents who have kids that are maybe aspiring to be major league ball players? I know you have to have had calls.
I've had a few, Truman. But you know, when they're 6 years old, that's
a little too early.
Young for me at my age.
I'm not talking about my mom.
I told somebody out at one of the parks this past summer, or last summer, I have a little hard time remembering when it was, something about like that. And I said, well, if I'm living and I'm still with the White Sox, I'll look at your child and see him and everything else, but I'm afraid I'd be in my hundreds and it'd be kind of tough about that.
How in the world did you get hooked up with the White Sox to start with? Well, that's a question I've never asked you, and it's always intrigued me.
You remember Guy Dotson used to be the district attorney here?
Of course.
Yeah, figured that. Well, his brother, Sammy, was with the Dodgers. He was a part-time scout with the Dodgers. And Jack
Powell, he was a good athlete at one time.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
County,
yeah, and he lived up in Winchester.
Right.
Jack Powell was with, I think he was with the Mets. I'm not sure. Or Pittsburgh, one of the other. And they saw me when I was coaching, and after it all ended up, I remember one day at a game out at Oakland, Sammy looked over the fence. I was just down there talking to him, and he said, Coach said, what are you going to do when you retire? I said, I don't know. I'll probably go up here and get a job with the city or the county or something like that. But that didn't work because we were on the same retirement system.
Yes.
And you couldn't do that. And he said, why don't you try scouting? I said, I don't know. And ended up, he called me one time and said, the Montreal Expos are looking for a scout. And
we're going to take a quick break, okay. Jack, and we'll be right back with Jack Jolly.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
We interrupt WGNS programming to test our emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
Barlow Exteriors is the only factory direct dealer in Middle Tennessee for Vista Window Company replacement windows and sunrooms with certified installers. The sunrooms and energy extreme window systems by Vista is unmatched in the industry. Barlow Exteriors also specializes in siding, roofs, gutters, and carports. And if you have storm damage like I did last spring, Barlow Exteriors should be the first call you make. 355-6676. That's 355-6676. 76 and online at barlowexteriors.com.
The BBB keeps an eye out for you. The purpose of the BBB is preservation of marketplace ethics and consumer confidence in business. When we do our job, our marketplace demonstrates a higher trust in advertising. It reflects higher respect for merchants and preserves the value of the customer's dollar. Check out gobbb.org for a list of our accredited businesses. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
Now I'm getting clicks on my website.
My business is coming up first in search engine results.
Use the internet to make your business succeed. Find out how. Attend a free online marketing seminar with Yellowbook 360. Register at ybseminars.com.
I trust Yellowbook 360 with all my marketing needs.
This seminar is worth every minute.
Don't miss out. Attend a free online marketing seminar at ybseminars.com. That's ybseminars.com.
Are you 10 pounds overweight, 30, more? Those extra pounds are hurting the quality of your life, your relationships, and your health. Dynamic Medical Centers offers fast, effective, medically supervised weight loss programs. Patients routinely lose up to 30 pounds in their first 30 days, and our programs are easy to follow with no hunger, no surgery, and no trips to the gym. For a free weight loss consultation, call 455-0850, dynamicmedicalcenters.com.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Weather Eye.
Let's get a check of the forecast now. 77 degrees, and staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber in the Weather Eye Weather Center with an update for us today.
And we'll see a chance for some showers and thunderstorms with mostly cloudy sky conditions and a high getting into the upper 80s. We'll see winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Later on this evening, still a slight chance for some showers and storms. Mostly cloudy skies, low will drop down to near 70 degrees with northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday, another slight chance for showers and storms, mostly sunny with a high near 91. Tuesday night, we'll see partly cloudy skies and a low near 70. And by Wednesday, a slight chance for showers and storms, high near 93.
Right now, 77 degrees, cloudy skies. Congratulations to today's WGNS Good Neighbor of the Day, Bertha Coleman. She wins the flowers from Ryan's Flower Shop. Person nominating her says she's always helping others. And 8-year-old Gracie Bell Dunn celebrating a birthday today and receives the birthday cake from our friends at Junior's Foodland.
Liberate yourself from the shackles of dead-end job gloom. Work for yourself as a farmer's agent at Farmers Insurance. Call District Manager Mark Lewis at 625-7070 to find out how. We are insurance, we are farmers.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Mr. Jack Jolly. And this part of his show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography. And they're located at 315 Hickerson Drive here in Murfreesboro. You can reach them at 396-8776. Pull them up on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, a certified craftsman, and Coach Moore, these guys, I guess I've known both of these most of my life, Jack, and of course, you knew Al Gordon's daddy, I mean, Dr. Gordon, his great baseball player in his
absolutely.
Time. And they are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro, and they specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and will treat you like family. Of course, we've had Larry and Al both on the show, and Larry's been on a bunch of times. He's got quite an array of friends in this area. Now, we were talking about you getting on with the White Sox.
Okay. So anyway, Sammy called me up about the Montreal needed, and he had this boy calling. He was a scout for the Montreal Expos out of Illinois. His name was Stan Zielinski, and he was just a kid, really. I mean, kid to me, to my 24, 25, and one of the nicest guys. Well, it ended up, I wanted to know how much I was going to get paid. Oh, well, we can't pay you, you know. I said, I'm not going.
Great job.
They said, try it. Said, all we need you to do is just go around the middle of Tennessee to see people, and I'll let you know. And I enjoyed that, Truman, because it was baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I was going in when I got to go to places like St. Aquinas and Cumberland, mm-hmm. and high schools and stuff like that. And at the end of the year, they gave me $500.
Wow.
The Expos did.
And, probably took care of your gas.
Yeah, right? And gas wasn't like it is now. But anyway, the next year, I was back again the next year, and they were having an OVC tournament out at MTSU. And this scout, part-time scout with the Cubs,
mm-hmm.
Young boy selling insurance, and he said, I want it, because I'd been nice to him. Said, Jack, I want you to meet the guy I work for. His name was Doug Lawman, and he did. And we met, and Doug liked me. He said, come on, Jack. And we'd go down and look at this and that, and he asked me this. And he carried me down to Shoney's when it used to be right down here on Broad.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, after that year ended, the next thing I know, this boy's name Stan Zielinski with the Expos, he called me and said, Jack, said, Doug is going with the White Sox, and he wants you as a part-time scout.
Wow.
And he said, can he call you? I said, yeah. And I said, but I'm happy doing what I do. And anyway, Doug called me, and he offered me that, and I said, I don't know. And it all ended up, it's kind of funny, Truman, but you get paid. You get a salary, and your expenses are paid for. And I said, well, you can't beat that. So I went with the Sox, and I've been with them for 22 years, and got better and better, and I was given more and more territory, and I'd been sent to all over. One year I had west of I-65 in Kentucky, Owensboro, Paducah, and had Franklin, and Bowling Green. And
you had a hotbed of baseball.
Yeah, it was enjoyable, but it wasn't like Tennessee, though.
Yeah.
Their baseball isn't as good as Tennessee.
No, you're right.
Because I had, if you get up East Tennessee, like Elizabethton, Kingsport, Johnson City, all those places like that, and Knoxville, all those, then Chattanooga had play. Then you go down to West Tennessee and you got all the Memphis schools, Germantown, Houston, Memphis University School. And I'm just going on, and you get to see Columbia. By the way, Columbia had a boy. I got to tell you a little joke about what kind of scout I am. They had a boy that played for them, and he was a nice kid, but he had a brother that was older than him, and I thought he was better. Well, this boy goes on to Columbia State, and I watch him, and I know Jim McGuire tried to get him to come school out here, but Memphis gave him a better deal. They mm-hmm. gave him more money. And he went down there and played 2 years. And I know Larry Jansen, well, that's his daddy, the Jansen boy from Arizona. Mm-hmm. He was in there scouting one day, and they were playing in the Millington, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And he said he was there to see this boy named Ugly. And
Dan Ugly.
Danny Ugly. And I always told Danny, I said, Dan, you can't hit the ball. You cannot hit the ball. I said, you strictly want to pull the ball.
And he hadn't changed a bit.
And so on and so on. And I remember Dolly went with me, and this is when Price was, mm-hmm. David Price was out here at Blackman. And went down to Memphis to get some medical reports on some players. And I remember standing out there, and Dan came up to me and said, Mr. Jolly, you going to draft me? I said, no. I said, Dan, you can. He said, yeah, I can. And you could tell he was really hitting the ball better then.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not.
Long way.
I'm not accusing anything, but steroids has definitely gotten into baseball, and that's so sad.
Yeah,
when you see these guys that'll hit 2 or 3 home runs in college, and then all of a sudden they're in professional baseball, mm-hmm. in about 3 or 4 years, they're hitting 25, 30 home runs. I would say Nomar Garcia Parra was one of the best examples I ever saw of somebody that I would imagine had taken steroids, because
really?
he wasn't hitting like that at Tech, mm-hmm. Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. And then here he is, he's hitting 30-something home runs in Boston. Of course, that's a left field poet there. And I've seen, Truman, I've seen guys like Helton, mm-hmm. you know, that plays
Todd Helton.
Yeah, Todd Helton. Now there's a boy that really knows how to hit.
Yeah, he does.
But
he did at UT.
Well, he didn't impress me when I saw him in the summertime, and that was a point right there where he was an all-state football player. And I'm watching these tournaments up at Jefferson City, mm-hmm. and where Carson Newman is, and he was playing on that Knoxville Stars team that had Triplett on there, mm-hmm. and it had the Freeman boy, the pitcher. And anyway, they didn't know whether he was going to be interested in baseball or football, and they asked me, let's see, it was John Burden, he was with California, mm-hmm. and Tim O'Neill with Minnesota. They were all younger scouts, great kids, great guys. They wanted to know. They said, Jack said, go find out how interested he is. Now, we're talking about Todd Helton. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll go. I went around there and I looked at him. I said, Todd, look me right in my eyes. I said, how interested? I said, I know you're all-state quarterback, mm-hmm. but how interested are you in baseball? He said, I know where the money is. And that was about it. Mm-hmm. I said, in other words, you're interested. He said, very much so. I went back around there and told him. Of course, he got drafted. It was a big mess. He was going to sign with San Diego, and the scouting director was in there to sign him. His mother said, okay. But he had signed also to play for Johnny Majors at UT.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big blow-up about that. I don't think it's interested to what people are listening here. But anyway, his daddy wouldn't let him sign.
Mm.
And he went on to UT, and he liked to make the worst mistake he ever made in his life when he got hit in his knee. I think that was out in California. Mm-hmm. And but after his junior year, he got drafted. I used to spend more time when I'd go up there talking to R.A. Dickey and him. Mm-hmm. Of course, I loved R.A. R.A. is probably the favorite of any player I ever saw.
He's amazing.
Oh,
what he's done.
Love him. Love him. And so anyway, he signed next, Todd did, with Colorado for a lot more money.
Been there ever since.
And R.A.
Probably will be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing about it. Mark Grace, you remember him?
Yeah,
the
first baseman of the Cubs.
That's who, when you write up a report, you have to write who they remind you of,
mm-hmm.
or how you can compare them with. For instance, Robin Ventura is our manager now. Mm-hmm. I saw a report written up by Larry Monroe, a vice president up there, and he wrote up about Robin Ventura when he was at Oklahoma State.
Mm.
And it's interesting, and I've seen all those guys like that.
Yeah, you follow that trail from the time you first see them and your first impressions till they go on. And that's an interesting process, isn't it?
Yeah, this is what interested me. Most successful, boy, I've been asked, who have you drafted personally that, well, there was a kid at University of Memphis, and they were playing in the Armed Forces Tournament there at Millington. And there was a right-handed pitcher there.
Mm-hmm.
He could throw probably 96, and funny delivery. And Jeff Hopkins was the manager, the coach,
mm-hmm.
there, and he was talking to me before the game. They were playing a doubleheader. The Ryan boy was going to pitch the first game, and a boy named Josh Stewart was throwing the second game, left-hander. And he said, "Jack, you're looking at the wrong guy." He said, "You need to watch that guy right there." Well, I sat there and watched Josh pitch, and he was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a change of pace. I have never seen anything that day. He was probably about 88, was about his maximum velocity, but his location was tremendous. So anyway, I drafted him. And he'd been in his third year, he was at Birmingham, third year,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, they called him up.
Hmm.
And he pitched, and Don Cooper's the closest friend I got with the White Sox,
mm-hmm.
and he lives in Nashville, Brentwood now. And I talk with Don all the time. And he had two great years, something like 17 and 8, and probably 16 and 7 or something mm-hmm. like that, good ERA. And he's pitching his third year at Baltimore. And he got caught with a line drive right on his heart. And paralyzed him and stuff. And he came back, but he didn't have stuff. And I asked Don, I said, "Don, is he still paralyzed, that lick?" He said, "No, Jack," said, "he's just scared."
Yeah, said it's just hard to come back.
Yeah, said
that.
He's scared. And
he sounded almost like a Whitey Ford type picture.
Yeah, and a great guy, Owensboro.
Mm-hmm.
Lives in Paducah. Went up there to sign him. I had $185,000 to give him. And
wow.
I ended up and signed him for $150,000 in one semester at Memphis. And he, to me, is the most successful of anybody I drafted.
Now, you had a coach at, a manager at the White Sox while you were doing a lot of your scouting by the name of Ozzie Guillen. Now, tell me a little bit about Ozzie. He is a...
nut.
He's different, isn't he?
Well, in a way, he's a good manager, and in another way, he is a head case. Don finally told me when he came out when I had that stroke, he and Ruby, his wife, came out there, and we were sitting there talking, and he said, it was miserable, Jack said. The last few years, it was miserable. He said, never bothered me, but when he started writing text, or was that what you call it, texting, all, about the owner and his son did, that was enough.
That's not very smart.
No, that wasn't very smart. But he was one of these kind, we want to draft guys that'll hit the long ball. Mm-hmm. The next year, we want speed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it go like that from one year to the next. You didn't know who you were looking for. Mm-hmm. And I turn in a lot of times guys that, or to the guy, the scout above me, who never did anything with them. And it was interesting and still is.
You know, you was mentioning speed. If you have a team that has a mixture of power and speed, you have really got something. And I have watched, I don't know if you probably don't watch the Braves and listen to them like I do, but there is something about having that speed. Somebody like Michael Bourne, who plays center field for the Braves.
Who's playing center?
Michael Bourne. The guy is...
What happened to Andrew Jones?
He's with the Yankees. Isn't he?
He was with the White Sox.
Yeah, but he's. I think he's with the Yankees now.
He is.
But anyway, when you've got somebody leading off that has world class speed, and then you got all those big bats behind you, and plus somebody like left fielder, he can put the ball anywhere. And he and then you got all those 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bats. Of course, one of them is Ugla, who's hitting about 100. I think
he is
having a terrible year. I mean, he can't find the ball. He strikes out at least half the time that he's been up lately. And I know they're working with him. I don't understand that. But when you've got a mixture like that's one thing I love about the Braves. They got everything it seems like going right now, and they got some really great closing pitchers. And I know that's one thing for you to have a hard time dealing with, because when you and I, especially you before me, we've seen pitchers that would pitch 9 innings, and it seemed like they were still
Absolutely.
Fresh after the 9 innings were
right.
up with.
Right.
But now it seems like they try to get somebody up to 6 innings or 7 innings, and then they start bringing in the closers, which has really changed baseball tremendously.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, how many World Series have the Braves won? I mean, recently.
In Atlanta? One that I know of.
When was that?
Back in the 90s.
Well, by the way, you haven't said anything, but if in 2005, you know who won the World Series, don't you?
No.
Well, I would have brought my my World Series.
Have you got a ring?
No,
they
gave part-time scouts a watch that cost about $1,300, and I put that up, and I don't dare wear that around. It's a beautiful thing. It's got diamonds around the thing, but when I first went with the White Sox, they gave everything. Well, Dolly, they used to send Dolly every Christmas a sweater or a rug or a blanket, you know, things like that. Yeah, funny thing about that, Truman, after the first 3 years, I got a jacket every year, some kind of jacket. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Tim O'Neill talked about me going full time with Minnesota, but I would have had to move, move out of state. No. But I was talking to Dolly about that, and she said, "Jack, you're not gonna leave the White Sox. I said, well, why? She said, because they send you nice jackets.
You come on, me. That is so funny. Now, do you scout MTSU players?
Oh, yeah. I'm out there about every game. And
Pete has had a reputation of bringing really good quality players in here. Of course, some of them from Murfreesboro that have come in. And when they come in, what do you look for the overall quality of the guy, the hitting, the pitching, all that other stuff? Are you just looking for something that the White Sox feel like? Do they send that out a report of what they're looking for to you?
Well,
or are you just looking for the overall?
Well, athlete? You grade. We used to grade every player. We used to go. You've seen us with those scouting books with our cards. Yeah. Don't use those anymore.
You don't?
No. I just write down the lineup and stuff like that. They used to get that. And I'll write things right there, like you talking about hitting a minute ago, about he's dragging the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Or anyway, he's strictly a pull hitter. Mm-hmm. And things like that, and different about how he cocks a bat, and a few things like that, and does he have power, or how fast is his bat? Now you get, first of all, you watch infield, and then you look at the arm, you look at the quickness of the feet, things like that. Pitchers, it's gotten to the point, I've learned so much from Don, to the point about speed, about velocity, what kind of pitches do they have? You grade them, 5 is major league, 4, not quite, 3, you don't ever put one. If it's somebody below 3, you forget them.
Yeah.
And so anyway, you have to come up and you come up with a score on different things. If you get one that's about a high 40, it's a major league, and get one to 50s, they definitely a major league.
We're going to take a quick break, and we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything from the simple oil change to major auto repair. Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Doran Claiborne with Farmer Brothers Insurance. If you're age 50 or older, we'll give you an auto insurance discount from Auto Owners Insurance. Mature drivers have fewer and less costly accidents, so we'll charge you less for your personal auto insurance. Insure both your car and home with us and qualify for more premium discounts through Auto Owners Insurance. Come see us in our new office at 319 West McKnight Drive.
You can depend on Farmer Brothers.
Are you tired of being taken advantage of when you bring your car in for service? Have you been searching for an honest repair shop that employs mechanics with honest Christian values? If you have been searching, you just found the right place. I'm Robert McConnell, and I'm proud to say that my shop is your place for honest automobile repair and service. Give us a call today at 896-1407, or just stop on by. Remember, at Robert's Auto Repair, we care, and we're always here to help.
Robert's Discount Auto Repair, on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
And when you and your family need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. Their company is different than any other you see in the local marketplace because they're owner-operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means they're hands-on and involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. They provide clients what they want most to remain in their own homes as independently as possible with their own familiar possessions, neighbors, and schedules. What they do can't be learned from a book. It comes from the heart, and they truly do care. You can reach them at 713-4639. Pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, or at their place of business, 237 Castlewood Drive. That's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. That's At Home Care. Jack, we're running down. It's unbelievable. Every time I get with you and we start talking, the minutes just fly by. I don't know what it is.
Well, I don't know either, Truman. Maybe we talk about something that we shouldn't be talking about.
We always do.
And
but, you know, baseball season seems like it never ends for me. Because there's always something going on. My grandson's getting ready to play fall ball, and then of course we've got the end of the season's coming up for Major League. We all get excited to see who's going to be in the playoffs and all that. But you know, one thing that keeps us excited right here, not only our Little League, of course, that's something we could have talked about forever. Little League, Babe Ruth League, and how everything got started. Mm-hmm. And we've got to have you back on because we need to go through the transitions of Little League, when it got started, and then on up to where it is now. But, of course, you know, MTSU is on the edge right now because they're looking for their future as far as a coach. And we were talking about Jim a minute ago, and he's such a great guy. I know he's a good friend of yours and a good friend of a lot of people here in the community.
He is, in fact. But he's true blue. I mean, my gosh, he could. I'll tell you something else that probably shouldn't be known. He may get mad at me, tell me. He's been offered a scouting job.
Wow.
He can be a scout tomorrow, making probably a lot more money than he's making there. But he loves MTSU. He's a good teacher. He's a good instructor in baseball. He knows how to handle players. And he's recruited. I have been with him recruiting, and I've been with Steve too, but I've been with Jim recruiting everywhere from Paris, Tennessee to, I don't know.
All the way across the country.
Yeah, everywhere. Everywhere in Kentucky, Alabama, Georgia, stuff like that. And it's always a pleasure for me to come up here. And by the way, I get to see Brian Barrett, whose father was a good baseball player, and he was an outstanding basketball player. And Brian is really an outstanding announcer, one of the greatest I've heard.
Well, he's been practicing a lot. It's my understanding that he goes home and spends about 15 to 30 minutes every day, kind of like John Ward used to. And I think he's practicing for television. What I can understand, he's been looking at himself in the mirror while he does that and trying to get all these particular looks that people like to watch that makes it seem like he's exciting or whatever. Kind of, I haven't heard him do too many baseball games, but I would love to hear him do Harry Carey's Take Me Out to the Ball Game at the end of the seventh inning one night. I would love to hear that. And after that note, we will see you guys tomorrow. And Jack, it has been another great show. And I'd love to have you on every day.
It's so enjoyable coming up here. And you talk about that. I just love it. And I appreciate you having me on.
It won't be the last time, believe me. Tomorrow we'll have Jerry Robinson and Bud Mitchell.